Greetings, and hello, my fabulous listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. I'm your host, DJ, a few bricks shy of a load. And tonight, we have a very special show lined up for you. I have, last week, we commissioned a study with a famous New York PR firm, whose name we're not allowed to mention, but we appreciate the survey they did for us. And we asked them what the number one thing was that our listeners wanted more of in the show. And the answer was, number one, sex, of course. And number two, more about me, DJ, a few bricks shy of a load. So tonight's show is going to be totally devoted to me, DJ, a few bricks shy of a load. What are my needs, my dreams? Where do I want to be in 5 years?
You know, that's funny because I saw the report too. And on the top, I just saw vaginas, vaginas, vaginas.
Wait a minute. Something's wrong here. We can't both have seen the same report. Maybe I was looking at my mom's scrapbook instead. Well, anyway, until we resolve this, I guess tonight I'm willing, until we figure out exactly what's going on here, I guess I'm willing to talk about vaginas. And maybe next week we can talk about me, my hopes, my
dreams. Can we talk about you and vaginas and how never the twain shall meet? I'll take that as a yes.
You know, it's not exactly the concept of vagina is foreign to me. It's just that I'm not interested right now.
You're saying the whole birth process was enough?
I mean, that's for me, the vagina is exit only, if you know what I mean.
Well, on that note, we should remind our listeners that if they want to give us a call and explain their theories of vaginal usefulness, the phone number here is 621-9728.
Excuse me, I think you mean 621-9728.
But, of course, how silly of me. Or if you're on the Carnegie Mellon campus, you can give us a call at 268-9728. But we actually do have a guest who's something of an authority on this topic.
Because she has one.
Yes, I have one.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. All kidding aside, we're delighted to have you back. You were on the show a few months ago, and you were delightful. At that point, you were a member of a pair of psychically conjoined twins.
Yeah, it's something like those Siamese twins, like one dies when you cut them off. And
yeah, like Reba and Laurie. I don't know if you saw them. Are you giving me that look like I'm
one? I know who Reba and Laurie are.
I'm just wondering.
Don't we have the juice to get them on the show?
Actually, it's funny. I was just talking to my mother tonight about whether I could get Reba and Laurie on the show.
but we're being rude to our guests, so we should introduce our guest. Della, a woman around campus, director extraordinaire, right?
Yes, I am a member of the CMU Women's Center. I am the publicity chair there, but this past semester I've taken on the project of directing the Vagina Monologues. They were written by Eve Ensler, and they won an Obie Award in 1997, I think.
And an Obie Award is the award for being a good play, right?
Well, it's an off-Broadway Tony, basically. So if you've got a theater that doesn't have as much funding, then...
So does this mean that Broadway just wasn't ready for talking vaginas?
Oh, evidently not. But they are hitting Broadway on the 16th of February this year. Okay. So they finally made it.
Has there been a sequel to Vagina Dialogues, or is it strictly stuck to a monologue format?
No, actually, it's just stuck to the monologues, but I've done a couple of new things with them. I did bring some chaps along with me. Laura is actually in the show, and...
Pantsless Mike?
Yes, my dear friend, Pantsless Mike, who Once is wearing a long show. Shirt today, so...
Ironically, Pantsless Mike appears to be wearing pants.
Well, that can be remedied.
That could just be very charred skin after some sort of fire. Thank you, though, Della, for actually doing our job that we've neglected by introducing our other guests. So why don't you tell us, probably a lot of our audience, since our audience is mostly gay men who care nothing about vaginas,
this will definitely appeal to them as well. They harbor on being very funny. There are some lesbian monologues, and that has been particularly amusing because there's such a straight female population on this campus. Or they're not chasing after me, one or the other. Bitter I'm afraid, yeah.
Oh. You've no reason to be bitter anymore.
Oh, thank you, Pants.
Wait. A lot just went under the bridge. So, are you being stalked by lesbians? Is that the general statement?
Not stalked? Or are there like hot lesbian or hot straight chicks on this campus who you've gone after and been cruelly rejected by?
No, actually, I have a 100% seduction perfection rate. And yeah.
Well, why don't we try to break that by issuing you a challenge to seduce DJ a few bricks shy of a load?
Oh, no, I'm afraid
where you do not, how shall we say, walk him in the bushes of the lesbian.
Lunch at the Y, I believe.
Yep, lunch at the Y. Okay, fine. Yes, I do not.
Swing from that tree.
Just makes it more of a challenge, really.
More interesting to me than your little show is your 100% seduction rate. How do you achieve this? Like, you know, here I am. I've been here more years than I dare mention. And, you know, I just cannot get these people to commit. I'm pretty good at the wind-up. Give me some kind of baseball metaphor I can use here.
Wind-up is, I mean...
The pitch.
You're pretty good at the pitch.
There's no connection.
Your bat's having trouble making solid contact.
<That's right>. You know, like every attempt at seduction, even when I couch it in like terms of just being like friendly, you know, making new friends,
yeah,
interaction, it all fails miserably. What is it? Why?
Despite having the bully pulpit of being the host of the show.
Mm. Among all my other charms, I don't understand what.
What's your secret? That's what.
Are you looking at her?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She's the one. She's the one with the secret.
Funny and talented, and you know she's got everything. Who wouldn't want her?
Well, but I mean, isn't DJ Fubrick Shive Lode funny and talented?
Oh, dead air.
So is that what? It's funny and talented. That's the.
Well, you do have the butch haircut going. I think that would work.
Are you saying so? All he needs is the tail, and he'd have a lesbian haircut.
Oh, God. Well, if I told you my secret, then I would know what it is. It's just that.
You were born with it.
I was born with it. Yes. Well, yeah, I really didn't want to talk about my seduction skills, you know.
But often this show is not what about the guest wants, it's about what I want.
Oh, good. Good. That's excellent.
Sorry, well, no, we're just two lonely men. Hoping for a little, you know.
So you brought me on.
I can understand about him, but you, lonely?
Wow, usually it goes the other way, but yes.
How can you be lonely when the two of you are sitting in the same room and interacting, you know, every week with each other?
You both have a lot in common.
Hey, wait a minute. You've got your chocolate in my peanut butter.
True. I mean, you know, tragically, my desperate death grip on my heterosexuality, like, keeps us apart.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
technicality.
But, see, that just shows how incompetent we are, that we can't even find, you know, companionship when it's literally sitting in our laps.
Well, yeah, it is Pittsburgh, I guess.
So if we went to the show, see the vagina monologues, mm-hmm. would we gain some sort of insight there? Oh. I mean, are there universal truths that would help us connect, well, no matter what our desired choice of gender or sexual partner?
There'll be chicks there.
Yes, but if you don't swing that way, there are some good...
Well, where chicks are concerned, I swing every way.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's the chicks swinging that way that's the issue, right?
Chicks are swinging throughout the entire piece. They're everywhere. Yeah, one of my good friends plays the part of a lesbian dominatrix. Another girl from a sorority who is having an orgasm on stage. It's been a lot of fun because
Wait,
I've been...
actually having an orgasm on stage?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that even legal?
So how...
Oh, we care about legalities.
I know, it just occurred to us that we might over book the place, but
I've been in the theater for so long that the line between reality and acting is blurred for me. But do you mean this woman will actually be having an orgasm on the stage, or she'll be acting an orgasm?
Well,
on the stage?
It's entirely up to her at that point, I think. Mm.
Well, I mean, can she just summon one up from the depths of her mind, a la method acting, or will there be actual?
Oh, well, there's a stool, but.
Just a regular, ordinary stool, or with a less sort of vibrating attack?
Well, that's our secrets.
It's going to be a really popular stool.
Yeah, we'll autograph it later. But, yeah, I think that everyone could get something out of the monologues. They, literarily, they are of value. The words mm-hmm. used in the monologues are excellent. And I've spent a lot of time with them, so I've been able to look at them. And obviously, I've looked at them for a while now. And the actors themselves have brought a lot to the script. And so I've just spent a lot of time figuring out how a lot of the different women feel about their bodies and about their sexual relationships, and
the women whose voices are being heard in the giant monologue.
Yes, and also the actors themselves, okay. Because the monologues lend themselves to start conversations. So mm-hmm. the actresses have sat down there with me as we're working through the monologue, and mm-hmm. they'll start going on their own stories, and that's just inspired me to keep going simply because.
Are you going to encourage them to improvise?
In some cases, yes, most definitely.
Really?
If we're about to screw up, we're supposed to improvise. If you can't remember it, fake it.
Well, that's what my prom date said. Yeah. Yeah, so.
What was the it in remember it that your prom date had in mind?
That's just Della's answer to everything. That's what my prom date said.
Yeah, it works fabulously well in conversation, but the it was probably rhythm, movement, or words, one or the
Does
other.
Does it? I mean, that phrase just frightened and confused me, which is not the position I want to be in as a
No, I don't think you're giving this comment enough credit. I think at my thesis defense, for example, if I get a hard question, I'll just be, hey, sorry, Dr. Fisher, that's what my prom date's like.
Yeah, I think that's
so how many of the actresses are really going to be men in drag?
Well, actually, it's funny because...
They wouldn't let me.
Yes, I...
Were you wearing pants at the time?
Actually, no, I wasn't. In fact,
no.
I was wearing a skirt.
Yes, I was going to have Pantsless Joe decide to do a monologue, but then we're going to videotape
as Pantsless Joe or Pantsless Josephina.
But he's been mistaken for women often.
Oh yeah, actually, a couple of weeks ago when I was in. I was wearing a skirt at Max and Irma's, and I was in the men's bathroom, and men kept walking in and doing double takes, and like. Am I in the right place? And I just laughed at them.
Yes, one time, I think they... Wasn't it true that a gentleman walked into the man's bathroom, walked out, and then
yes,
went
and then
the
went
in
the
women's
bathroom, and then you heard a scream. And that entertained me a lot.
Oh, the best was yesterday. We went to Victoria's Secret, and Pantsless Joe was being offered many lingerie items and in that Victoria's Secret card.
Oh, yes.
Something of that
sort. Who was doing the offering?
The women that worked there.
Okay.
Do I
look like a woman to you guys?
No. Well, the moment you're displaying your gorgeous, smooth chest, which is pretty much a dead giveaway that you're not female. And I'm sorry, I didn't mention your diamond hard, rock hard, your diamond, what is it, rock diamond hard nipples?
Hard.
I can't get
diamond hard, diamond hard or rock hard, you can go with either one.
I guess I can't get them both in the same sentence. But I think, Pantsless Joe, it's time for both you to take off another article of clothing and for Della to... When is the show? Did we talk about that?
Oh,
have I missed it?
I apologize.
When? Where? When is it going
yes,
on?
Yes. Actually, Eve Ensler, who is the author of the piece, gives free rights to the show on Valentine's Day every year. So they can be performed on college campuses throughout the United States. The idea is to raise awareness against domestic abuse.
So is it a race against time to finish the show by midnight?
Tonight? No.
No,
I've been
Valentine's
working
Day.
On it for a while, and it will be ready. Yes. Yes, the girls have done a lot of work. I have done very little schoolwork and really dedicated a lot of my time to this. But, yes, it's 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Valentine's Day. It's only $1.
So in McConomy.
In McConomy, yeah.
It's hardly going to raise any money at all.
Well, that's not really the point. It's just kind of, to clean up. Money to clean up the stool, I guess.
I mean, why not lay down a tarp or something to make for easy cleanup?
Well, I think it's the wood concept that we might want to keep.
Actually, from what we've been hearing, we may actually sell out in the economy. I mean, there's been a very, very positive response to the show.
Well, I think it was just you putting your clothes back on.
at that point. That could be it as well.
Wait, they generated the positive response or killed the positive response?
I think people usually want me to put my clothes back on. And I mean,
see, well, what a welcome refuge this show must be.
Exactly. I mean, the threat of me being naked seems to motivate a lot of people.
Yeah, well, you picked, you know, Pittsburgh. That I don't understand. I mean, you could have gone to Santa Barbara, to Florida.
Well, I think it made for a nice juxtaposition. I mean, naked in Pittsburgh. Santa Barbara, naked in Santa Barbara, you just expect it.
Are you eventually going to work your way to the Yukon? So, but back to the show, right? So far, we know it's about vaginas. We know it's about many different women performed by very different actresses. But what is it about? I mean, is it gynecological? Is it spiritual? Is it...
Oh, it is gynecological. It is spiritual. It is funny. It is tense. It is sad. Made me laugh. Made me cry. Yeah, blah, blah. But
does it have a heart?
Of course. I think that each person will enjoy one monologue more than another. And given the day, I will hate some monologues and love others. I just think that there's a lot of room for interpretation. Mm-hmm. As far as they're concerned, when we're dealing with vaginas, we're dealing with the sex, we're dealing with living with a vagina. And the fact that the word is not often used in conversation, and if it is, it's under a whisper. And I don't think that the same, no, except on the show, which is why,
yet we can all go around shouting penis at the top of our lungs. No one can, you know, say vagina.
Yeah. I think that it isn't said enough on campus.
I think we should remedy that right now. Vagina.
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 I don't think I'm capable of anything more than a whisper.
Oh, we'll change that.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to overcome right there.
So I have two quick questions for you.
Sure.
One is, if you've seen The Player, you understand the sort of game that gets played in that movie where somebody has to walk into a Hollywood executive and pitch their movie in 25 words or less, right? So I want you to do that for the monologues. And second, I want you to tell us what men are going to get out of the show.
Okay. Well, first, men are going to get a great exposition of beautiful women discussing their bodies and how proud they are of them and the fact that they can live with their bodies and deal with their bodies on their own terms. I think that that's also attractive to men simply because it's no longer an ownership on one side or the other side of a relationship. I think it really addresses half of, you know, a heterosexual context, and that it shouldn't be ignored. Sex shouldn't be seen as just primarily masculine or primarily feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think that the show definitely addresses that. For guys, I think they'll enjoy the fact that they don't have to be uncomfortable around the word anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if for nothing else, they'll hear it more than they have before in the past couple years at CMU, and I think that it should be in conversation more often, and it shouldn't be seen as something derogatory.
Now, if customers pay extra, can they get a private kind of lap monologue?
Oh, yeah, in the back room.
Well, but only for me. That's the stipulation.
Interesting.
We'll do this little, like, extra curtain type of lap thing. As far as the 25 words or less...
I'm still baffled as to what the actual content.
Oh, okay.
I am too, so maybe I should just let you talk. But I'd like to know, without giving too much of the surprise away, like what I'm in for. You know, I go in there, I pay my dollar, and is it art? Is it like drama? Is it a play? Where do these monologues come from? Do the actors speak to themselves?
I get the sense we're like the blind man groping the elephant, that we can only see some small piece of what's really going on.
Mm.
I mean, until we actually see it, of course.
Yeah, that's what my prom date said. That's right.
Well, see, now that makes sense.
Something. Okay, good. Well, there are 16 monologues that are being performed. Ensler wrote 18, and I've selected 16 of those because two of them I just haven't found the right actors to do a good job with them. So it is kind of hard to describe them as a collective because each of them addresses a different part of the world, a different cultural background, a different age group. So obviously it's about vaginas. It's about how women relate to them,
and it offers a funny way to look at them, mm-hmm. a sensitive way to look at them, and a powerful way to look at them. And it totally empowered me after I performed them last year. I did one of the monologues mm-hmm. that where you have to have an orgasm or fake an orgasm on stage. And I...
Did you use the stool?
No. I wore boots, but...
She's just that talented.
Yeah, it was kind of an amusing story because I had just broken up with my girlfriend that day on Valentine's Day. And so I went into Maconomy and performed the monologue. And afterward, a boy came over to me and told me that I did a good job. And I looked at him and I asked if it was authentic. And he said, oh, yeah. And he ran away. And it was really funny. So I took that as a good sign. Basically, after I had performed the monologue last year, I realized that there was a change that had happened. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel uncomfortable anymore. No, it's not a change of life novel that I'm writing. Basically, I realized that I wasn't comfortable. I you always presume that you're not prejudiced unless you're put into a situation
yeah.
where you become uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not you particularly, Lance, but just anyone.
Well, no, I'm no different than anyone else, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Very good.
These growths are not actually some sort of deeper spiritual flaw.
The pus oozing is a bouquet of
but,
sorts.
I mean, when I started hosting the show, right, there were many topics with which I sort of wasn't aware of the way I felt about them, right? And
right.
Like, by talking about them and making sort of poorly timed, badly worded jokes about them, right, like I was able to come to grips with it, with things much better.
Come to grips. Very good. Yeah, and so... I took them on as my personal project, mm-hmm. and because right now I'm not a directing major, I've mm-hmm. decided to do this to wet my feet and see if I can, if this works. And I seem to have found my...
And she does a damn good job of it, too.
Why, thank you.
You do a good job. We really appreciate it, because it's hard to bring together so many people who have such different ideas and different voices and... different ways of presenting themselves, and you know, some people used to say, be louder, be softer, talk slower, talk faster.
Oh, the voices, the voices.
Yeah, you can pick up on all that.
None of the girls that are performing are CFA acting majors, so okay. It has taken a little bit of time to work through some of the stuff, but I think that this offers girls outside of CFA
yeah.
a chance to be able to explore the acting. So
we actually have one of the actresses
yes.
here. Why don't you tell us what it was like working under...
Della. Under Della? No, I don't think
I
we ever got there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Della's really great. She's very organized. She does more stuff for her than any of us would want to do ourselves. And you know, have you gone out and measured the stage in Maconomy like you said you were going to?
It's 2.5 Della's long. No, I'm kidding. I haven't, but that's okay. Because you will be at the center of the stage, so we can
that's
mark
that.
We'll be fine.
And the proper unit for measuring the stage would, of course, be the vagina, right?
Oh, very good.
Oh, that would be difficult.
Aren't there
to
standardization
measure.
Issues now?
Yeah, SI units of measurement. Would those be? Those are the sexual instruments of measurement, I suppose.
We're going to take that momentary awkward pause to remind our listeners, both Pantsless Joe is about to take off another item of clothing, and our listeners need to be reminded of what the phone numbers are, which are 621-9728. And careful not to kick the microphones.
Nope, nope.
Or, if you're on campus, 268-9728.
No, please, Mike, the shoes first. Please.
Michael, no. No,
I mean, you bring a man named Pantsless Joe to the studio, and then you cringe in terror as he takes off his pants.
Does Pantsless Joe wear undershirts? It doesn't look like he does. Also, I think it would be more proper for Pantsless Joe to be doing a slow interpretive dance in the center of the stage. That would make, I think, our
sort
guests
of a,
more comfortable.
A body monologue, if you will, like a
really?
Yeah, monologue of...
Yes, exactly. Because while we talk about the vagina monologues, we can experience a very literal kind of penis monologue. Or, in fact,
you've said the word log a couple of times.
But it's not really a monologue. It's sort of a null log or a zero log, because there will be no talking. There will just be Pantsless Joe's interpretive dance.
And we may not even pay attention, right?
Right, exactly. So,
the thing is, I have docks on, and I don't feel like taking them off right now because my feet smell fairly bad. And,
it didn't stop me.
And jumping around with my pants just on my ankles, it just doesn't make for a good interpretive dance. Well, I mean, that's for you to decide, but in my opinion.
I decided that you should do an interpretive dance, slowly writhing over here in the corner. And just try it for five minutes while we talk.
True, although I would like to point out the show does not coerce its guests into doing anything. We only suggest, recommend, and implore.
Okay. I mean, you guys can... I know how you guys protest to me being naked, so you can close your eyes. But, I mean...
Oh, they're closed.
See, I'm actually an artist model in CFA, and and I have no problems with being naked.
Well, this is strictly professional for you as well as for me. It's just the other people who aren't used to dealing at our level of artistic...
Abstraction.
Thank you. Who have a problem? Who have a quote problem with it? And I would ask you to have a monologue right now with your own vagina and ask what really the issues are here, because clearly, when you deny art, you deny.
True. I mean, Della brought up the point that the vagina monologues would help men come to terms with understanding sort of women and their relationship to their vaginas, right? So where are the penis monologues, right? Where is the spoken word that women can go to so that when a man, like, drops his pants, he doesn't go, ew, gross, and turns away, right?
We could probably organize the penis monologues, like, right here by asking you guys a few questions.
Well, I think that a lot of music, poetry, and prose, drama, everything that has happened and been supported in the arts that has been predominantly male has been like a penis monologue for the past 300 years, so I really don't think that...
You misunderstood my point, right? I mean, that's sort of the common approach is that arts have been so male-dominated that, like, things have been about things.
Right.
But this isn't just about the penis. It's about helping to understand the penis, right? It's not about trumpeting the penis, right? It's not about saying, hey, look at this, right? It's in the same way that the vagina monologues, like, help both genders come to a greater realization. This would be a way for... Again, both genders to come to a greater realization about, you know, the penis, really.
Well, okay. Some of the questions we ask in the monologues are, if your vagina got dressed, what would it wear? You know, what would your vagina say in two words? What does your vagina smell like? So, I mean, we could ask you all of those questions, just substituting in penis for vagina.
All right, so
if your penis got dressed up, what would it wear?
Well, my penis would wear the outfit that Rhoda Morgenstern wore on the first Rhoda show, the pilot.
I have very similar red sunglasses, like Rhoda's, take out my whole face. So the entire outfit, that would get kind of cluttered, don't you think?
Well, yeah, there's plenty of room.
Oh, I didn't mean to suggest.
Mine would wear a shiny metallic jumpsuit.
Uh-huh. Okay, well...
Well, you guys can see what mine's wearing.
Well, not at the moment. You're wearing...
Is that a bowler hat?
Actually, it's a Greek fisherman's cap.
I'd like to be a Greek fisherman's cap.
Oh, God, why did I look? Why did I look?
So, Pencils Joe, I see you're totally nude, but not yet performing the interpretive ritual. Unless this is part... I mean, am I supposed to be questioning the whole nature of art and dance by observing your...
Stillness.
Your stillness. It is arousing me questions about.
That's true. I can sense his writhing psychically, actually.
So, what would your penis say in two words? See, and that's the constraint there, two words, because I think a lot of people's genitalia would tend to be very verbose.
Can we use very long multi-word German words?
I was going to say, if it were...
one would like to do that.
Right, if I only had three words, I could say, oh, the humanity.
Ah, yes,
but
true.
Two words is hard, you know, maybe just, Jesus wept, I guess, for the best.
that is clever.
Clever, but there's no dancing sense.
why must you insist on this linkage between your competence and the, like, nude performance of our guests, right?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I mean, there's this implicit, like, linkage between you being a good host and our guests actually getting up and dancing nude. And it hardly ever works out that way.
I'm just not getting... Oh, all right. The interpretive dance is happening. This is gorgeous. All right, now this helps me focus. This is really therapy for me. So, this is like that kind of Prince thing, that Purple Rain thing, or just something.
Where he wrote the one where he wrote "Slave" on his face, or
was that "Slave"? I thought that was.
Yeah, when he was under his contract with Warner Brothers. Anyways, we're straying way off topic. So, what should tell us about? Is anything interesting coming up in the Women's Center?
Oh, actually, yeah, we've got a couple of musical
performances that are coming up. The 15th, which is next Tuesday, a week from today.
Musical like Gilbert and Sullivan musical?
Concerts, like a full concert is scheduled for next Tuesday in McConaughey.
Yep, it's an indie girl concert. It's for musicians, and basically they'll take turns playing something like a... How would you describe it?
Basically, they play their own songs and tell a bit of an anecdote about
their stories.
Yes.
Behind the music. If you will.
See now, if there was a Gilbert and Sullivan, you know, operatic comedy of manners called The Vagina Monologues, like, I would see that in a second.
Three little girls from school.
that's excellent. Maybe I'll start something like that.
So is Indie Girl the name of a band, or is it?
It's an organization.
Okay.
And
it's based in Seattle, started by Holly Figueroa, and it's basically an internet-based community of various female musicians.
Okay.
Independent artists.
Right. Yeah. So that is happening on Tuesday the 15th, and then the 29th at Rosebud, which is down in the Strip District.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is another concert that is going to be, the proceeds are going to the CMU Women's Center. Mm-hmm. That's a whole bunch of artists that'll be there. And that's over 21, so it will be encouraging another demographic to
know. And your evil ex-crush won't be there.
But I just want to clarify, because I don't think this is necessarily clear. A lot of our listeners are off campus. If you do want to come to the Vagina Monologues, it'll be, just to be perfectly clear, Valentine's Day, the 14th, Monday, 6 p.m., and it's at McConaughey Auditorium, which is in the gorgeous new University Center, which looks a little bit like Hitler's headquarters, in case you have never been to CMU before. Kind of big, new...
it's new?
...brick building. Well, it's 2 years old.
Oh.
It's newer than Brunel. I mean, how long have you been here?
We're juniors, so... It is newer than Purnell. Purnell's one.
No, it's older than Purnell.
I mean, no, I'm sorry.
By newer, I meant older.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
I knew what you meant, Adley. That was like Ron.
And yet, look, Pencils Joe, your job is not to correct me or to ask questions. Your job is to be up in the same case.
Question why. Yours is but to do or die.
So this is the part of the show where we confess to having an ulterior motive to invite you to the show.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what my prom date said.
You know, you seem to be, of all the undergrads we've had on the show, you seem to have your finger most tightly pressed to the pulse of the juggler brand of the undergrad community.
I thought you were going to say
something else
entirely.
Really, what did you think I was going to say?
Clitoris is the word that popped in. In my internal vagina monologue, the finger pressed to the pulse of the whatever.
I am outraged.
I'm sure
so
you are.
Our question is, so what do you think this show can do to I mean, we're here to serve the CMU community, right? Which means we're here to serve the CMU undergraduate community, right? What do you think we can do to serve the CMU undergraduate community better?
Well, I think you definitely need to get students from other walks of life, not just the ones that will make it down to WRCT or listen to WRCT. Mm-hmm. If they listen to it already, then you've already got them.
Okay.
I think that... outside of that, a lot of students listen to their own music outside of the university, and so asking them to come on or meeting people and asking them to give their little...
The problem is we'd love to do that. The question is how to, you know...
Yes. Exactly. So you're trapped in your own little cage, a cage of your gorgeous, seductive, beautiful making. You don't realize that ordinary mortals occupy a totally different kind of world. I mean, I face
rejection every day.
Exactly. I ask somebody to come on my show, and, you know, I get slapped. I'm serious. I've met so many
people. Where do you breathe in that sense?
But I'm not even kidding. It's actually very difficult to get guests for the show because they don't realize what a life-altering experience it is for them and for the listening community. I mean, we have a duty here to educate, inform, and... titillate the public, and these people. I don't know.
And our public shares in that duty in some small part, right?
So by being gorgeous and non-threatening and yet oddly seductive as you are, you probably don't realize how difficult it is for other people to actually interact. So, what I would like to do right now in front of all our listeners is deputize you.
Can I keep my clothes on?
For now.
I'm just kidding.
Pencils, Joe. Now's your time to act. We only have 15 minutes left. You're going to be doing...
Outstanding.
If you're going to be doing the little penis monologue, please. Don't let the cringy...
no, please.
Don't let the penis-fearing women keep you down.
I'm begging you. I mean, what else can I do? Okay, so, meanwhile... Excellent. Now, I need a little interpretive dancer. Yes. Fabulous.
Well, you know, Della, we'd like to remind you that he's your guest.
That's fantastic. I think you're doing wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Della, I think what DJ, a few bricks short of a load, is saying is that we'd like to deputize you to be an ambassador at large for the show so that, I mean, so that, for example, if he or I were to ask people to come on the show, people would sort of edge away with nervousness, fear, and maybe a tinge of loathing, right?
And then
whereas
maybe a restraining order.
Maybe.
Oh, I see.
And should we ask him to be a tree?
Yeah, you need to spin around a little bit so we can see all sides. And then maybe a little bit of kind of stretching, like put your ankle over your neck, you know, stand on your head. And slow down the tempo as if you're like...
I can hold position.
Okay.
Well,
so be the green lady on Star Trek, you know, the Captain Christopher Pike went to visit.
The green lady?
You know, that's sort of a very famous episode. There's this painted lady. She's dark green. In fact, there's a whole story behind it because when the... I don't want to get into this necessarily, but... When the photo lab got the photos back, she was, like, too green. They couldn't figure out what was wrong, and so they kept on adjusting it, and they were like, no, we want her green, and there was this whole confusion.
Because people aren't supposed to be green.
Right, but they're alien.
Oh.
So they must be green, they're aliens.
Yes, she was green, but very...
Okay. Surely you're not asking him to be green.
Well, no, actually, I think I'm like, be, you know, represent green with your dance.
No,
this was good. This was helping me. This is helping me concentrate. Okay,
sorry, we have cords and broken bottles from the earlier bar fight. We apologize.
Okay, so Vagina Lady. I'm sorry, I forgot what your stage name was.
That'll do.
So I'm actually very curious about actually your role in the Vagina Monologues, because you're presumably one of the featured performers, and I think.
Yeah, I am. I actually get to play two roles in the monologues.
Really?
I am a 6-year-old girl in one of them who is talking about her vagina in a very innocent and honest way.
Mm. I would hope so.
I can't help but have mixed feelings about that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm also one of the voices in the menstruation monologue.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you're not actually playing a character, you're a voice in somebody's head, or
it's like there's a loose character definition, but when the menstruation monologue was developed, it was supposed to be this wild collective song of because when she interviewed people about, you know, their periods and stuff like that, she heard all these phrases repeated, you know, I was 12, I was 13, I was scared, I was terrified, you know, I was happy, I got horny, I'm a woman.
Yeah, it's the way the monologue lends itself, I was able to pull out 5 different characters. But basically it's a different sentence per person that Ensler kind of collaborated into 4 pages of a monologue. So I have 5 characters on there, and Laura is one of them. The character she plays is pretty defined and has a very crazy mother.
Yeah.
So
what made you look at Laura and just say menstruation?
Well, I didn't look at her and think menstruation.
Okay, sorry. When you heard her speak, what made you think menstruation?
What made me think worse than you? No, well, Laura's very animated, and on stage you'll be able to see that right away. Okay. She definitely adds a lot to the texture of that piece.
She was certainly animated when Pencil's joke got up.
Yeah, all of my animation seems to be crushed by the fact that there is a completely naked man sitting next to me. It makes it very hard to talk about anything.
Well, we certainly So pencil, I have an idea actually. One pencil show, why don't you move behind the couch and do your dance just for me? And
that'd be fine. I'd be fine with that.
Really? Well, I think that's what we should do. The final 10 minutes, because I'm actually curious, because I don't think we've gotten Vagina Lady. I mean, there's plenty that I want to ask you, Vagina Lady, and I don't think we've gotten the full. And it could actually seem, even though what I'll be doing is staring at Pencil Joe's penis, it'll seem like I'm riveted, my attention is riveted on you. So Pencil Joe, move your penis over.
That's a very good
this
technique.
Way a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I actually use it, I'm actually planning to use it also at my thesis defense. So.
Just put him right behind your professors?
That's right.
He'll never notice.
Well, if he does that, ass spanking thing, I might notice.
God. I'm so glad you're behind me.
So,
so we have a multitude of open threads.
I want to point out a bit of hypocrisy here. I mean, you guys are trying to diffuse, I don't know, discomfort about vaginas, and here you are cringing at a penis.
Oh, you're calling us hypocrites. No, I'm not cringing at a penis. I'm just cringing at you.
And
okay. Just you.
Okay, Pencils Joe, you are my best friend.
Oh, I love you.
And I am a lesbian. I love you as much as one lesbian can love a Pencils Joe boy like yourself. I enjoy talking with you, but I do not enjoy sharing that special gift that God gave you.
Now,
just
hypothetically, what would you say to DJ if you, Brick Scheibelode, who is a gay man, a proud gay man, if he said the same thing to a straight woman friend of his who was lounging around comfortably naked? Like, you're a good friend of mine, I just don't want you, you know.
That is tough.
Well, I think that obviously, if it made my friends uncomfortable with me being naked, I would put my clothes back on. Mm. I mean, it's not...
Hang in my pants.
Oh, I didn't say it like that. I'm sorry.
But I'm uncomfortable having your clothes on, especially since you obviously don't have any underwear. I mean, the chafing that you must be experiencing,
that's fabric. That's in fact why I don't wear jeans, because denim usually chafes. Mm. But
one of our nation's governors, Jesse the Body Ventura, has gone on public record saying that he never wears underwear. So, I mean.
Interesting. Vagina Lady. We have to focus on the Vagina Lady for just a few moments here. Are you a performer? I mean, I thought you told me you were sort of getting non-traditional performers for these roles.
Yeah.
I mean, are you an actress or are you?
I did theater in high school, but I'm a biology major, so there's not much room for performance in biology.
I found that with a lot of the girls that I've already known as good friends who I approached initially to do the monologues. They're people that have had acting experience. Either they were sick a lot in grade school, and so they know how to act, or they just are animated, or I know that they're sincere, and so they'll take this this particular show seriously. The money that we're raising is just to support the center and
buy toilet paper because we only have one roll left.
Oh.
And I stole that from my dorm room.
Can't you just rip it off from the UC? I mean, that's
actually what I've been doing. I've been stealing from West Wing, but I probably shouldn't have said that on.
Basically.
Not like anyone's listening. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
We also will be passing the hat for a par, which is a.
Not that hat, I hope. The
one not that,
that
hat,
no.
But for Action Against Rape.
Yeah, thank you very much. So our money is going back to support women and the cause of some sort of social equality, if we can.
Will you be performing any of the monologues?
Well, it depends. There's the monologue I did last year, I can perform, but I offered it to another girl to do in case she wanted to. Because I've been offering it to a lot of different people to see where they'll take it and if they want to memorize them and do them. Then that's how it initially started. I showed them all the ones I had available. So if this particular girl gets it together, then we'll do it. Otherwise, I'll perform it because I'm used to performing.
I'm getting kind of a Jennifer Love Hewitt vibe from you. Do you ever get that? Especially with that little smile that you're kind of.
That's a really nasty comparison. Notice
really?
Me flexing you in your general direction.
Really? She's a talented, attractive, rich.
No, she is heinously ugly.
I would have to agree.
I don't think she's intelligent at all. As far as money goes, well, yeah, but maybe she's wealthy.
She's well known as being, you know,
sweet.
By pedophiles
sweet.
Of the world.
Sweet,
sweet, yeah.
Unspoiled, thoughtful, emotionally. Since she's named her breasts Thelma and Louise.
Oh my god.
Have you named your breasts?
No.
Interesting.
But oh. I am far from sweet and far from unspoiled and.
Unspoiled means very spoiled, right? Like very despoiled.
Yeah, sort of like rotting meat. I'm very spoiled.
Oh,
no, I'm actually a freshman.
And you're playing a six-year-old girl.
Yeah, shush. Don't ruin the illusion. I'm a freshman, so, you know, I got to start off my year very infamously. And, yeah, and I probably should not.
Oh,
into it.
Because you broke up with Bailey and moved to New York to try to get some experiences.
No.
Yeah. Well. Can you just give us a general idea of the class of event that happened that gave you your reputation?
Oh, come on. Just make up animal names.
Make up animal names.
Just make up animals.
You're not helping, dude.
Sparky and Simba.
I think the freedom kind of went to my head, and I was like, wow. You know, and, you know, my grades weren't so great. But, you know, I had a lot of great sex, but I'm having even better sex now. And... There's one very special man to thank for that.
Your professor.
Well, I probably am going to be getting an A in interpretation and argument this year, but that's for different reasons. That's because he has...
Colbert not incriminating anyone in him.
That's because he has a crystal meth habit. And,
And what, are you the dealer? Is that why you're getting the A?
Something like
that. Or is he just so hopped up that he gives A's to everybody?
AIDS or A's?
A's, the letter. No, I'm taking interpretation argument for the second time because, you know, I was so busy sowing my wild oats last semester that I failed.
You were doing more interpreting than arguing, basically.
Well, sometimes arguing helps, I think.
Yeah.
Wait,
a good fight.
What exactly does that mean?
Something that prom dates did. In other words, before you were like a prism, for example, spreading the rainbow, your sexual energy among like all the guys at SIGEP.
Wow, you're good.
Oh God, not frat boys. No,
frat.
I am limited to the KGB, as a matter of fact.
Are you serious?
Well,
really? No wonder you got a lot of sex. I mean,
those boys have been waiting around for quite a while.
Exactly.
No, not that KGB. The other KGB.
The Russian KGB?
No, not the Russian KGB.
No, the KGB.
The campus group of...
The campus group KGB.
Of freaks
and
geeks. Yeah. Oh,
interesting. Well,
dude. Geeks are so sexy, man.
Especially since you're probably the only woman, only fabulously attractive woman they've
ever had. That's really what I was aiming for. You know, I knew there was a niche there, and I could fill it.
That's so gorgeous, because you can verify a theory of mine is that geeks are actually total perverts, kinky, hot lovers in bed.
See, they have the time to read up on this stuff.
You know, I've had a lot of support for that theory.
Really, really.
You know, I think it's because they read a lot, and they're very technical, so they know
what
they're
doing. They do the entering diagrams to figure out the proper...
Exactly, they study instead of, like, fumbling around the first few times.
And they also try harder. I mean, they want, when they finally do get a fabulous babe such as yourself, they want it to be perfect.
Yeah, and they usually are very perfectionist and,
You know, I mean, this show is no stranger...
That was a very sultry sigh.
Well, next time I see, you know, somebody sporting one of their geeky trench coats and fedoras or whatever it is they're wearing these days, I'm going to be like, well, hello.
Ahoy, matey.
I could send you their way because, you know, now that I'm gone, you know. I'm
now
sure.
That you're gone?
Yeah, because I have stepped out of the sowing my wild oats and...
You settled down.
Furiously committed.
After only 6 months, that's pretty hasty.
That's all I needed, really.
It's interesting that you bring up sowing your wild oats because this leads to another question that we wanted to ask you guys. So we here on Sex Talk are thinking about having a contest, right?
Okay.
Where we want to have undergrads come on and tell the story of the freakiest sex they had on campus.
See, I really think that would be an excellent idea.
Do you think so? And then we'd give the winner a Cinnabon and a chance to co-host the show once.
I think that would definitely work.
Okay.
Does it have to be on campus?
Yeah, because, I mean, on campus, I don't know.
Metaphorically, yes. Well, literally, maybe not.
I don't want to be giving away too much, but anybody that has had sex in that little underground art room that's like dug into the hole of the
What about the steam tunnels?
Steam tunnels, no, but I mean the underground art room. Steam tunnels, I mean.
Oh, you mean the one with fiberglass over it?
Yeah. They get like the whole six pack of Cinnamons. If anyone has sex in that room, especially if they've like cut a glory hole in between the partition between the blue side and the white side.
So are you telling us, when we put up posters looking for people to email us with stories so that we can have them on the air, right? You'll help us recruit?
Oh, most definitely. Okay. I'll help them write them.
Okay. Oh, we can put something into the Vagina Monologues program. What is that? You sell like ad space?
Well, I can look into it. I wasn't planning on doing something like that.
Interesting.
Yes. If you are there.
Would you like to help support our toilet paper habit?
I'm glad it's a habit.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's cheaper than I mean, I usually give my horse crack and pickle meth, but, you know, toilet paper sounds right.
That's true. If we could get an ad by paying you in toilet paper, we'd be delighted.
Yeah, I think I could definitely, because sex is very much a part of what a vagina does, I think that it would be fitting to have.
Maybe we should underwrite the show at some level.
Well, we're going to do them next year, as we will continue to do them every year. And so I would love to have more people getting involved. And the more, definitely, Sex Talk is a great show.
I sense a note of sarcasm.
No, not
either
at all.
That or you changed to one of your alternate personalities. Yeah. You remember? You know, who are you now?
No. Yeah, I think that people should feel more comfortable talking about sex on campus. Or having sex
not
on campus.
Not just on campus, everywhere. People need to calm down just a bit. Like, my parents need to calm down.
I'm one of 10 kids. My parents definitely need to calm down.
Did you say you're one of 10 kids?
Yes, yes, I am.
You're like, you have 9 siblings?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's shocking.
I dated a woman who had 12 siblings. Big farm family, rural Wisconsin.
And you're all, like, genetically 100% related.
Normal,
like half
yes.
I mean, there's half-brothers or step-brothers
no,
and
nope,
sisters.
No, no twins either.
Wow.
Yeah. Incredible.
Were there any sort of sexual goings-on that our guests should know about? 60 seconds left,
Well,
is it true?
They were Catholic. We could just leave it at that.
Every sperm is sacred.
Every sperm is sacred.
Well, but you know, as you know, I'm sure you've dated a few Catholic KGB members. That, you know, the Catholics
no.
are the most perverted
Catholicism
ones of all.
And KGB don't mix well.
Really?
They don't mix at all, in fact. Mm. They are all godless boys.
Well, no, I mean, but are many of them recovering Catholics?
I don't know.
Okay.
Do they dress in little choir robes? Or?
No, that was my job.
Oh, okay, good. As long as someone was doing that.
So, like, quickly, in 20 seconds, you actually dressed up in an outfit for a sexual encounter with someone in KGB?
I'll leave you to determine, you know, the difference between truth and fiction here.
Because there was
that's the show. We don't want to determine the difference between truth and fiction.
I mean, there was a very gripping show when Party 5 Hottie Jennifer Love Hewitt was deciding whether she wanted to have sex and lose her virginity to
you
Bailey
actually
or not.
Watched this show,
I've watched
don't
every
you?
Single one.
Good Lord.
And they were deciding when they were going to have... Well, we're out of time. Let's save that for next week. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Thank you all for listening or joining us.
Thank you, our guests, very much.
It was a fantastic show. Fantastic, Bob.
To our listeners, go enjoy the Vagina Monologues.
And just remind you, Friday, the 14th, Valentine's Day, Tuesday, 6 p.m.
Great date,
Monday.
Monologues.
Monday,
yes.
Monday the 14th. Be there. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Yes.